RNZ Pacific News, Nisan Bulavinaka, I'm Silmanu Tevam Tafai. Fiji Prime Minister Sitiveni Arambuka has reinstated Asedi Aranturoturo as Education Minister. FBC reports he made the announcement last night after months of attempts by the Sudalpa Party Management Board to return the portfolio. Mr. Arambuka says Mr. Aranturoturo was given 3 months to prove himself, and that period has lapsed. Aranturoturo was removed for insubordination, but Sudalpa has continuously challenged the decision. The Sudalpa MP has also been named the leader of the party. FBC has attempted to get comment from Mr. Aranturoturo. Samoa has marked Anzac Day this morning, beginning with a march from the Returned and Services Association building to the tower clock. Our correspondent in Apia, Otangaveia, Tipi Otangaveia, reports.
The dignitaries in today's Anzac Dawn ceremony under the town clock is led by the President of the Returned Services Association, the Deputy Prime Minister, Afiona Tuala Tewanga Yosepo Ponipasio, and members of the Returned Services Association. And included in this year's ANZAC event are a delegation of veterans, U.S. veterans from American Samoa, including the governor of American Samoa, who arrived on Tuesday. And they are here as guest of honors of the president and members of the Returned Service Association.
Otungaveia says an AVA ceremony was held this week to welcome the U.S. veterans. Meanwhile, in Tonga, King Tupou VI led the wreath-laying ceremony at the cenotaph at Pangailahi. A New Zealand delegation is in Niue, led by the Speaker of Parliament, Jerry Brownlee, and attended dawn parade at the National War Memorial and Central Alofi. Meanwhile, in Aotearoa, the Christchurch Mayor Phil Major addressed the Cathedral Square dawn service. Thousands watched on as veterans marched down Worcester Boulevard to the Citizens' War Memorial. Phil Major thanked the Defence Force for the work they do to protect New Zealand.
As major wars once again ravage the world, albeit in distant lands, we should also remember today the countless suffering of civilians and non-combatants who have been caught up in between these conflicts.
People paid respects to those who have served by laying wreaths at the Citizens' War Memorial. Samoa's government has announced a half-day public holiday tomorrow for civil employees to participate in a national clean-up campaign amid a dengue outbreak. The decision was made yesterday during Cabinet's weekly meeting, with the Ministry of Health stressing the importance of eradicating mosquito breeding grounds. Efforts include cleaning school grounds, public waterways and spaces, with discussions underway to extend campaigns to every village. Palau has renewed calls for a moratorium on deep-sea mining, stressing its dire threat to deep-sea ecosystems. Speaking at the Our Ocean Conference in Greece last week, President Surangal Whips Jr. said deep-sea mining could cause irreversible damage. Whips garnered support from various countries like Brazil, Costa Rica, France and Vanuatu, who echoed his concerns and urged others to join the cause. According to the Island Times, Whips sees a pivotal moment to discuss and potentially enact measures to halt deep-sea mining activities with the upcoming assembly of the International Seabed Authority. Papua New Guinea superannuation operator Nambawan Super Limited says about 1,000 families will have to move from the Bushwara settlement in Port Moresby by mid-July. Managing Director Paul Sayer says in total about 5,000 people would be affected. The company, which has owned the land for more than 30 years, is planning a complete new suburb on the more than 200-hectare site. It values the site at 90 million kina, or about US 23 million. Mr. Sayer says Nambawan Super is planning to follow on its original plan for the site from 1990.
It's not just looking at housing, but also there would be other developments there to accommodate a community that's been built. So things like shopping centres, you need to have potentially some commercial as well as then parks, and you're looking at also things like schools and the other facilities that would be normally required in a community.
In Fiji, 9 children have been involved in traffic incidents this month, resulting in serious concerns about child safety. Speaking to Fiji Village Senior Superintendent of Police, Mitieli Divuana highlights the need for increased vigilance as children's behaviour on the roads can be unpredictable. He emphasised drivers to be extra cautious near schools as several pedestrian incidents were recorded before and after school. 4 of the children were pedestrians and 5 were passengers. The US Under Secretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs says the US does not intend to extend its delivery of nuclear-powered submarines outside of Australia. The submarine delivery comes under Pillar 1 of the AUKUS partnership between the US, Australia and the UK. Bonnie Jenkins told journalists that the US is in consultation with potential AUKUS partners for Pillar 2.
We are not planning to expand cooperation on Pillar 1, of course, which is focused on assisting Australia with the acquisition of conventionally armed nuclear-powered submarines. But the partners have developed principles and models for additional partner engagement in Pillar 2 projects. And we will undertake consultations this year with potential partners regarding areas where they can contribute to and benefit from the work that we're doing in Pillar 2.
A world-first child autism clinic is being trialled in Wellington, providing support to families of children under 5 years old identified with signs of autism. Clinic lead Dr. Hannah Waddington says the trial will provide 60 families 17 weekly sessions to help parents understand their autistic child. She says the demand will exceed the 60 families the pilot can provide for, but it is only funded for Wellington.
We do expect the demand to be pretty high for those spaces to probably fill up pretty quickly. We've already had about 15 families interested and able to work with the first family, hopefully starting next week.
Dr. Waddington says the trial aims to prove the benefits of early diagnosis and with further funding it could be rolled out across the country. In Australia, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns says there's no risk to the public after federal police arrested 7 people in Sydney yesterday as part of the investigation into the stabbing at a church last week. Police have said the suspects were part of a network that shared a violent extremist ideology. But Mr. Minns moved to reassure the community about its safety.
There is no current threat to public safety and no connection to Anzac Day commemorations. I think that's important to state as of the proximity to Anzac Day.
A 16-year-old boy has been charged with terror offences from the stabbing. In sport, Moana Pasifika have named their strongest match day 23 available to battle the Fijian Indroa in Lautoka on Saturday. With injuries ruling out some of their top players, head coach Fa'alongo Tana Umanga has opted to retain the core of the team that defeated the Reds in Whangarei 2 weeks ago. Ikalitahi flanker Sione Havili Talitui keeps a number 8 spot and the captain's armband. Veterans Sekope Kepu and Christian Lealii Fano will start off the bench. Golfers Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy and other PGA Tour stars are set to receive massive bonuses for their loyalty. ESPN is reporting that Woods will receive up to $100 million as part of the newly created PGA Tour enterprises, with McIlroy earning about half of that amount. The payouts are a reward for sticking with the PGA Tour instead of jumping to rival LIV Golf. Several hundred players will receive a stake, with most of it going to the top 36 players based on career success and fan popularity. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.